Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is the episode for Wednesday, January 17th. The Pistons will be going up against what I think is the NBA's surprise team so far this year. But this is your host, Matt Shook, and you can follow me on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter feed at Locked On Pistons, definitely named. And then we've got a Facebook page, too, as well. We can follow that at Locked On Pistons-MattShook as well. So give us a nice like on there and get involved in the Locked On Pistons community online. But we're going to be looking ahead today to the Toronto Raptors, who the Pistons play tonight. And also, I'm going to be talking about what I think is Stan Van Gundy's biggest failure so far in his tenure with the Pistons. And we're going to be hearing from a brother podcast of us, the Locked On Rockets podcast, for a breakdown of what happened late last night as I tape this on Tuesday, so late Monday night, between the Rockets and Clippers, as what happened there at Staples Center between Chris Paul and his former teammates. If you haven't heard much about that, you need to hear about this, and you'll get the opinion from Locked On Rockets. The Ben DeBose, the host of that show, will break down what he thought transpired there and everything that happened between the Blake Griffin side and the Chris Paul side. So two of the sides that you know if you listen to this show. I'm not a fan of either of those guys, but listen to the analysis there. But fantasy sports fans, listen up. Did you know that your chances of winning on draft are 80% better than on salary cap sites? That's why Draft is my favorite fantasy site. No more getting crushed by the pros. And it's not just me. More than 1 million people that have downloaded the Draft app believe it too. Plan a real live NBA draft right now. Be done in under 5 minutes and get paid out the next day. Drafts are filling every second, so you can join one whenever you want. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use my promo code LOPISTONS. That's right. Plan a real money draft for free just by using my promo code LOPISTONS. But it gets even better. Draft is so sure that you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On Pistons listeners a money back guarantee of up to $100. So just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play free with me right now using promo code LOPISTONS. That's the good news, but the even better news is if you follow me on the draft.com app, you can also be invited into our special Locked On Pistons Draft Wednesday contest for listeners. So follow me at Matt Shook, MattShoch, and we'll invite you into the special Locked On Pistons Wednesday contest that we do every week. And you can also find a link to it that I pass along on the Twitter feed for Locked On Pistons. So click on that link and then register for the app also using promo code LOPISTONS, and you can get into that one for free. But the Pistons are playing tonight on Wednesday night against the Toronto Raptors, who are having a great season, 29-13 so far this year, second place in the Eastern Conference, a good solid 3.5 games ahead of the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are in the third spot in the Eastern Conference right now. Predictably, the Pistons are 8.5-point dogs, as Vegas doesn't think they have a chance in this one against the Toronto Raptors, who are 15-13 at home, second best in the league at home behind the San Antonio Spurs, who are 19-2. But the Pistons, as you remember, almost got one of those wins against the Spurs on the road before taking care of business against Greg Popovich and them at home at Little Caesars Arena. But it's going to be a tough task for the Pistons here, as they're going to have to deal with DeMar Rosen, the shooting guard who has taken it up another step this season. He'll be a slam dunk all-star next month in Los Angeles as well. He's already a three-time all-star, but he might be a starter now. He's getting into the MVP conversation, taking his game to a whole nother level. He's from Compton. He's one of my favorite players in the league, and now he's kind of stepped up in his perceived weakness, which was three-point shooting. Now he's making more than one three-pointer a game on average, which is the most of his career, and shooting it at a 35% clip, which is the highest of his career. He's still not a traditional three-point shooter like many of the others in the league, but he's not even in his own backcourt, as he's made less than half of the threes that Kyle Lowry has made this season, but he's just masterful in the mid-range game, can get to the line as well. So if you're handling DeMar Rosen, you also got to deal with, like I said, the all-star point guard alongside of him and Kyle Lowry. The tough guy, Serge Ibaka, has been playing well for them after he was acquired in a trade from Orlando last year. Dwayne Casey, the coach for the Raptors, He might be one of the favorites for Coach of the Year. He's definitely one of the favorites, but he might be the favorite for Coach of the Year, although Brad Stevens will probably get a lot of mention and notoriety there. Although I would agree that Casey having a team that was really good and taking them to that next level is maybe a little bit more impressive than what Brad Stevens has done, especially when you consider that Brad Stevens has had some players added to the team that have helped the cause of the Celtics this season, along with Jaylen Brown taking that next step to becoming, you know, kind of a star in his own right. And then you add a guy like Jason Tatum early on in the draft. I think the improvements that the Celtics have made and the great season that the Celtics have having have a little bit more of Danny Ainge's fingerprints on them than maybe Brad Stevens as coach has on them. But obviously two great candidates. But I would prefer the first half that Casey's had with the ability to keep his backcourt engaged and to take a team that had kind of the chances of getting a little stale, as we remember the going to work Pistons from those days getting a little stale, that they couldn't get ignited. And Dwayne Casey's doing that for a Toronto team that's had some playoff disappointments and maybe some reasons to get stale and turn things in a bad direction. He's got them going the complete other way and moving in a positive direction. Fred VanVleet is another guy that's been strong for them. He played at Wichita State. I watched Fred play when he was in college a few times because I was living in Springfield, Missouri, when Missouri State was in the Missouri Valley Conference against the Shockers from Wichita State. Even back in college, he played with such a maturity and presence that it screamed out that he was an NBA player to me. But he went undrafted, but now here he is a couple years later playing a big role on one of the NBA's best teams in Toronto. So VanVleet is a guy to keep an eye on, along with OG Anunoby, the rookie from Indiana, who was injured a little bit with his time in Indiana, but he slipped in the draft this year into the 20s. Toronto gladly picked him up, and now he's one of the best rookies in the NBA so far this year. Speaking of rookies, Luke Kennard is questionable for the game. He's got a thumb injury that he suffered in Monday's loss against the Charlotte Hornets. But the Pistons will be up against a tough one on Wednesday night tonight against the Toronto Raptors up in the Great White North. We will see if they have what it takes to stay in this game and possibly even pull an upset. It would be certainly contrary to the Pistons teams that we've been seeing lately. But speaking of those Pistons and mistakes, I'm going to be talking about Stan Van Gundy's biggest mistake, an indefensible one that he's made here in his first few years with the Detroit Pistons. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want to get in touch with men between 18 and 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. Yes, sir! A little bit later on in the show, I'm going to have some reaction that you have to hear about that Rockets and Clippers brawl that wasn't really a brawl at all on Monday night, but some thoughts on that that you will want to hear. But what's your biggest gripe with Stan Van Gundy? Is it the summer of 2016 when they splurged for Boban, Lure, and Ish on overpays for all three? Or was it that last year when they spent all that money to get Langston Galloway in a reserve role and then sent him to a reserve role this year, hardly playing the guy after signing him to a three-year, $21 million contract with the cap already stretched for the Detroit Pistons? But my biggest problem with Stan Van Gundy over the past few years is more of a revision of the NBA draft that has been on my mind lately. Now, Rod Beard of the Detroit News drudged up some old names on Twitter the other day as, you know, kind of a here's some of the guys they've missed in the draft over the years, starting in 2013. This is pre-Stan Van Gundy era when the Pistons drafted Kentavious Caldwell-Pope at number 8. Now, obviously, that wasn't a good pick in retrospect, and he's been a disaster for the Lakers this year, too. And everyone likes to bring up from that draft that Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's an MVP candidate, went 15th that year. So that's kind of a cheap one that people bring up, but I think it was more of the Bucks taking a flyer on Giannis back then, a virtual unknown of a guy who was playing in Greek leagues and wasn't playing against any kind of competition that was noteworthy at all. If you're going to rip on the Pistons for that one, I think teams all over the league missed on Giannis, so it's hard to kind of single out the Joe Dumars administration for that one. Then the following year, when Stan Van Gundy did step in Rod Beard brought up how Nikola Jokic was taken only a few picks after Spencer Dinwiddie in the second round. Now, again, that's a second round pick. I mean, I think that back with, at that point, teams are pretty much taking shots and swinging for the fences. And certainly Denver found a great one in Jokic, who could make his first All-Star game this year. But, you know, like I said, Spencer Dinwiddie, first of all, is having a pretty good career right now, playing well with the Brooklyn Nets. So not a lot of fault can be had in the second round and missing for guys that, you know, everyone's pretty much missing at that point when you get into the 30s for a draft. Then you had 2015, Stanley Johnson. And of course, you can bring up Devin Booker as a player who was drafted a couple picks after Stanley Johnson in that 2015 draft. But if you think back then, most people, Pistons fans, wanted Justice Winslow, not Devin Booker. He wasn't a name that was being brought up quite a bit back then at that time. And Justice Winslow himself has been kind of a bust for the Miami Heat too. So, and you still see the potential in Stanley Johnson, the athleticism from Stanley Johnson. We've seen some decent moments from him over the years. And I know he's frustrating with the fact that he hasn't come along offensively, but you can see the talent. You can see what the Pistons were going for. And a lot of teams would still take Stanley Johnson if they had an opportunity to trade for him this deadline, which we may see coming up very soon. But my biggest gripe with the moves that Stan Van Gundy has made was actually the 2016 draft, when the Pistons kind of needed a scoring punch this year, and they haven't even used Henry Ellenson, the 18th pick of the draft, the first round pick for Stan Van Gundy. They haven't even used him as an option this year. You got Henry Ellenson in his second year in the NBA, just toiling away on the bench, not contributing at all. And we hear all about his slow-footedness, the fact that he can't play defense, and in the little action that we have seen from him, it's pretty much borne out to be true that he's not a guy that you can count on to cover a lot faster offensive players in the defensive mode. But I covered the combine last year in Chicago. You can tell if a guy has slow feet if you go to the combine. And the Pistons, as it came out after the draft, they didn't even bring Henry Ellenson in for a workout. They thought that he would go maybe around 10 or somewhere in the high teens, and he wouldn't be available to be picked at number 18. Well, guess what? He fell through the cracks, and the Pistons didn't really think to themselves, well, why did all these teams who did bring him in for workouts, why did all these teams who were projected to take him in the teens or the high teens or even maybe the low single digits, why did they take a pass on him? Why didn't they want the guy from Marquette who was an all Big East selection in his 1 year with the Big East school out there in Wisconsin? It's the kind of draft pick that a playoff team maybe makes when they don't have any openings, a guy that can maybe help a couple years from now, not the kind of pick that the Pistons needed at that time. And if they knew that he was maybe the kind of guy who couldn't play for Stan Van Gundy, and that's bearing out to be true right now, well, guess who should know that? That's Stan Van Gundy, who's ultimately making the final say with the draft picks and all personnel moves for the Pistons. And now Ellenson, not only is he not playing for the Pistons, but he's not even a piece that could acquire anything in trade talks right now. We're hearing all about Luke Kennard. Teams are asking for him in trade talks. They're even asking about Stanley Johnson, even though his career has been not that much to speak of for the Pistons. But we're not hearing anything about Henry Ellenson. Yes, I know that all teams, including the Pistons, look past Giannis, and we can bring up the what-if games on some of these draft picks of the past, but the other guys that were taken around Henry Ellenson were guys who were out there in the national eye, guys who were out there in the local eye, and there are guys who can help the Pistons right now that Henry Ellenson is not helping the Pistons. Look at the second round. Number 36 pick in the draft was Malcolm Brogdon. He could solve the backup point guard problem and the starting point guard problem that the Pistons have right now with Reggie Jackson on the shelf. And Brogdon was the ACC player of the year who became a rookie of the year. So you can't argue to me that Brogdon was an unknown or someone who, you know, people didn't know about back then. And when you got to this draft, 2016 wasn't a very good draft. So it's not like there's all sorts of all-stars that were taken in the teens or anything like that. But there were proven commodities that could have been picked around that time in the, you know, mid to late first round, and some of them even slipped to the second round. For instance, Deontay Davis, the Michigan State player who was in the green room, and we were all kind of surprised to see him fall that night, but he could have helped solve the backup center issue, which is one that the Pistons have right now. He was there, and not someone who has snuck up on people as well. People thought he left kind of a little bit 1 year maybe too early for Michigan State, as he only played 1 year out of Muskegon for Tom Izzo, but now he's with Memphis, and he's getting a little bit of run. He's showing that development that Henry Ellenson isn't showing anyone these days. And as far as other backup big men that they could have picked, Ante Zizic, that was picked by the Celtics a few picks later, he was moved to Cleveland in part of the deal that netted them that top pick in the Kyrie Irving Isaiah Thomas trade. So he was a piece that was coveted by the Cleveland Cavaliers back then. Damian James out of Vanderbilt is a guy who got some minutes for Golden State during the playoffs last year and is considered a development big man that certainly could help the Pistons backing up Andre Drummond right now. The two picks after Henry Ellenson that year were Malik Beasley out of Florida State and Caris LeVert out of Michigan. Now, what do the Pistons need? They don't have any impactful wings right now to complement Tobias Harris. You can't even keep Stanley Johnson on the floor. And when he is healthy, he's not a guy who's helping offensively, certainly, and not doing enough defensively for making up for his offensive problems. Malik Beasley out of Florida State with Denver is a guy who can fill it up for them and could be a contributor to the Pistons right now. And Caris LeVert is a guy who's had a lot of success in his short NBA career so far. He's getting run, albeit on a bad team, but he's a guy who could certainly help out for the Pistons in the rotation on the wing right now. Pat McCaw in the second round by the Golden State Warriors is a guy who has made contributions in big playoff games. He helped them win a ring last year in Golden State and is another guy that was passed over for Henry Ellenson, for Stan Van Gundy and the Pistons. Every indication about Henry Ellenson is that he's a single-minded guy. He's focused on basketball. All he cares about is basketball and improving. And all we heard in training camp, and even from Stan Van Gundy himself, talked about how maybe he had the best training camp out of anyone, and that he was contending with Anthony Tolliver for some of those backup power forwards minutes. Well, he hasn't gotten any of those. He's not even an option for the Pistons to turn to when they need some offense right now. He's stuck on the bench, has played some G League games as well, and he's not even a trade chip that's acquiring any kind of interest from anyone across the league from any reports that we've heard throughout the year. So it's not like there's teams out there who believe in Henry Ellenson's ability and really think he's someone that can help out for their team down the road. So I think that's just basically a huge failure from Stan Van Gundy, and one that's really costing the Detroit Pistons right now as they're kind of mired in mediocrity in a season that could really go one of several directions, and we'll find out soon where that ends up going. But speaking of huge failures, how about that Clippers-Rockets quote-unquote melee from Monday? We'll hear from the expert on that next here on Locked On Pistons. And if you're like me, you want to know all about the Detroit Lions coaching search and what's going to ultimately happen with the Leos and the front office there. So you should be listening to Locked On Lions with Matt Derry. You know Matt from Detroit Radio, and he's a great guy, and you should be listening to Locked On Lions every day. Subscribe on iTunes, give them a rating, and follow them on all their social media accounts as well. But one of the best things about belonging to the Locked On Podcast Network is our ability to get the local reaction from across the league. And I know the big story from the last few days was the Rockets and Clippers. So we've got the local expert covering the Rockets in Houston for Locked On Rockets and the host of the Locked On Rockets podcast, and that is Ben DeBose, and he's going to tell you all about that fight and everything you need to know here.
The real story last night was what happened off the floor, so I want to address that from the top. And in case anyone has not seen the report already, go to ESPN.com. Adrian Wojnarowski, the best reporter in the business, just happened to be in L.A. last night, got the scoop that after the game, four Rockets, James Harden, Trevor Ariza, Gerald Green, and who am I forgetting? Oh, Chris Paul, who allegedly led them through a secret tunnel, went to confront the Clippers in their locker room after the game. It did not get physical. Security was able to get in there and separate the teams before it did. But clearly the Rockets were not at all satisfied with how situations were dealt with during the game. They felt the need to go in and defend themselves. There's even a hilarious anecdote while this was going on, because Chris Paul, a former Clipper, knows Staples Center well, took them down one of the back tunnels to get to the LA locker room. Clint Capella, then wondering where his teammates were, went knocked on the front door of the Clipper locker room to see what was going on. Someone opened the door, saw it was Clint Capella, who's a pretty intimidating guy at 6'10", then shut it in his face. Just a pretty, fortunately, we can laugh about it. I'm sure you've all seen the GIFs on Twitter, the reactions, and we can laugh about it because it didn't get physical. There was no long-lasting result. I don't want to say it's impossible for there to be a suspension, but if there are any suspensions, I would expect them to be of the one-game variety. Fortunately, security did its job, and I would never advocate violence. One of the sources, according to Woj, said it was classic NBA, that no one was actually willing to fight. It was more about making a statement. And from that standpoint, I'm pleased that the Rockets did it. There were several moments throughout the game that it got chippy. Of course, it was the first game for Chris Paul, who led the Rockets in scoring, 19 points, also had 7 assists and 6 rebounds. It was his first game back at Staples Center to play the Clippers, his old team. And it got chippy from time to time between he and Blake Griffin, who I think most of us around the NBA realize did not have a good relationship. But there were two things in the second half of the game as the Clippers began to pull away that really stood out. First, there were players on the bench led by Austin Rivers and Pat Beverly who were not playing due to injury, but yet were incredibly cheeky. And it wasn't just routine trash talk, although you know, especially with Beverly and also Rivers involved, allegedly Austin Rivers and Blake Griffin were the guys that the Rockets went into the locker room seeking out and wanting to confront. But those guys on the bench in street clothes, besides just normal talking trash, which is kind of ridiculous and weak, or you're not even able to play in the game, but in addition to that, folks, they were on the court. I retweeted screenshots. There were times that actually they even grabbed a couple of times, made contact with Trevor Ariza. That's why I thought he in particular was not pleased by what was going on that bench. And the officials had every opportunity to step in and take control of the situation. They did not. They didn't even whistle the Clippers for a tee. For the bench essentially being on the court for long stretches of the second half, it was the Clippers Super Bowl. I guess good for them. They were able to get the win. But there were a lot of unprofessional things happening, and the officials did not properly defuse and take care of the situations. The flip side, boy, with 4 minutes left, Blake Griffin, he's the other part of this equation. According to Mike D'Antoni, he thinks that Blake intentionally made contact with him. If you review the slow-mo camera, I've retweeted some of that onto my timeline. It sure looks like, and you can see D'Antoni react live saying, F you, which is something that I've followed Mike a long time. He's usually a very stoic guy, takes a lot other than typical just barking at the officials. I have never seen Mike D'Antoni turn on an opposing player or coach like that. So for D'Antoni to elicit that, for that to elicit that reaction out of D'Antoni tells you that it was a pretty serious situation, and somehow Griffin was not even ejected for that. Now, he was eventually ejected in a skirmish with about a minute left between Griffin and Trevor Ariza, and that probably spilled over into the locker room. But I think the key theme in this, there were some continuing themes, most notably with Blake Griffin and the guys on the bench, led by Austin Rivers, that were not properly addressed by the officiating crew during the game. I think the Rockets, did they seek out a fight? Probably not. As the source told Woj, I think it was a lot of classic NBA barking. But I think they wanted to make a statement, and truth be told, I have no problem with them doing that because, folks, the officials had every opportunity to take control of this game, and they didn't. So if you work within the proper channels and those channels don't do their job to kind of diffuse the situation, at some point you do need to stand up for yourself, and that's what I think the Rockets did. By the way, these two teams play again in Houston on, I believe, February 28th, another nationally televised game. And I think we can all look forward to seeing that and how it's going to play out when these two teams get back together on the basketball floor again, following, of course, what happened post-game last night.
Big thanks to Ben DeBose from Locked On Rockets for passing that along. And if there's any big stories that you want to know about, you can check out any of the podcasts on the Locked On Network. We got one for every NBA team, one for every NFL team as well. Got an NFL draft podcast, got an NBA fantasy sports podcast, everything you need to know. Locked On NBA, the big stories that David Locke, the founder of the podcast, puts together and puts those out at the beginning of every week as well. So we will be back with you tomorrow to talk about how the Raptors game went for the Pistons. And you should also be following us on the Locked On NBA Network on Twitter at Locked On NBA. And it's Draft Wednesday, so go to draft.com, order the Draft app, download it, and enter the promo code LOPISTONS for free entry into our special Locked On Pistons listeners contest as well. And so get in touch with me if you haven't figured out how to do that and you want to get involved in a daily fantasy draft app that's the most fun out of all the ones that you can be out there trying. But also you should be following us on Twitter at @Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Rate us on iTunes. Follow us on all the social media channels, including our new Facebook page at Locked On Pistons-Matt Schoch as well. So thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you all again soon.